Blog Talk Radio.
About that 50s music, it was 2 minutes a tune. They had an opening, a verse, then they had a bridge, and then they had the closing verse. Nice and simple. Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book. There is a chatter about the land, about Obama's secret army, and Obama's gun-grabbing legislation being enacted by his quislings in states throughout the land, throughout the nation. And in the state of Connecticut, it was reported that out of 100,000 gun owners, only 20,000 registered their guns, and therefore the other 80,000 are now lawbreakers. But I just saw another article on it, and they're saying it's not 80,000, it's 350,000. So we have 350,000 outlaws in Connecticut tonight. And people believe that Obama and Bin Laden is going to send law enforcement officials to seize the guns of those law-abiding citizens who believe in the second amen, as I call it. And if that happens, you know that's bloodshed time. You know that maybe in the beginning you're going to see people hand over their weapons, but then they're going to come across a guy that says, nope, and they're going to take them out. And when that happens, that will be the second shot heard around the world. The first shot was fired in Massachusetts at Bunker Hill by gun owners. And that's going to be a sad moment in American history, that a communist gaining power has decided to enslave the nation. And he got elected on the slavery ticket, yeah, reparation ticket. and now he's going to enslave everybody. He's an equal opportunity enslaver. Oh, that's not true, Tom. You're barking up the wrong tree. Yeah? Well, let's wait and see. Let's wait and see. But where's my plane tonight? Has anybody found my plane? Yeah, I think it's in North Korea. And I hope it is. I hope those people are all safe. I hope it didn't splash down anywhere. I don't care where it is, on a mountaintop, waiting for a rescue, doesn't matter, as long as they're alive. So we'll say a little prayer for them, you know, and religious prayer, Christian prayer. Oh, Lord, look out for your people. Because this government is not going to. So what I'm concerned about is, a friend of mine was watching TV, and they had, they were serving a warrant on a guy, and I think he resisted, and he holed up at his house, and all of a sudden, a Homeland Security truck pulled up, and my friend couldn't believe it. He says this thing had, it was like an MRAP right out of Afghanistan. He says, Homeland Security serving a warrant and they come with an MRAP? So I said, it's interesting. And that's how they'll come when they come for your guns. So there's two people in trouble tonight. The Ukrainians and the Americans. The Americans are about to lose a major freedom with this move on guns, and the Ukrainians are about to lose a major freedom with Vladimir Putin, who just shut down the Crimea airport. You can only get a plane flight into Russia and nowhere else. You can't come in to the Crimea, and you can only leave the Crimea through Russia. And now we hear that the ballot for the election that will allow the people of the Crimea to vote either to go back to Russia or to stay independent. The ballot has been issued, and there are only two yeses on the ballot. There are no noes. There's a big yes and a little yes that is hard to read. And this is how the communists work. And that's how it'll work in this country soon, as we lose a freedom a day. So once the government moves on the second amen, people, the crime must go up before blood is spilled. And the only alternative to hardcore revolution is no taxation without representation, a protest. So don't pay any taxes. By hook or by crook, before one American dies under the communist boot, Obama bin Putin must know the country is not going to pay taxes. The ramifications will create an IRS nightmare. They will have to stop persecuting Christians and tea people. Liens and seizures and auctions will lead to broken hearts. You and I could lose our house. But very shortly, the communist government will have to seize bank accounts also. They'll come for your bank account, too. So would you rather give up your guns and keep your house and your bank account? Well, then you're not a patriot. Yeah, it's easy to talk revolution, isn't it? Yeah. Meanwhile, nobody's been killed, all right? So very shortly, the government will then have to seize your bank account as Wall Street plummets. No political party can stay in office running two wars against the people. It won't be the first time Americans pledge their lives, honor, and fortunes to defend liberty. Hello, boss. I want to change my payroll deductions. How many dependents, Tom? 1,000. As a matter of fact, you know what? I'll take the whole check, and you don't have to even pay your FICA share. I hold you harmless. Now I'm on the way to the bank. The bank teller says, yes, sir. Do you want to make a withdrawal? Yes, ma'am. How much? Everything. That night, the bank teller at dinner tells her folks, 70 people closed out their accounts today. And by tomorrow morning, there will be 500 withdrawal slips that say everything. Picture a military base getting orders. Men, we have to invade the homes of your fellow Americans and seize their guns. Oh, by the way, we are not getting a paycheck this week. The taxpayers are mad at us. Yeah. We'll fine them. Yeah, but they're not going to pay the fine either. We'll seize their houses. What are we going to do with them? You can't do that. That's the ticket. How long before Wall Street transfers their assets offshore like Google does? You can't do that. There will be repercussions and consequences. Would you rather see your neighbor's house surrounded as snipers take out his wife by accident? A tank crushing the porch to seize a handgun and a rifle? Bill Ayers has already told Obama that 20 to 25% of the population will never conform to this stinky new world order. They must be exterminated. Are you on an extermination list already and you don't even know it? And, well, now they have an excuse. No more second amen. You might hear Bill Ayers say, with a little timing, we can kill them all on Good Friday. But if Obama fails, there'll be a resurrection on Easter Sunday. They are coming for the guns. Like Putin, they will go as far as they can go. My question is, where will Obama's army strike first? Will he hit the ghetto, Indian reservations, police stations? He doesn't trust the cops. Stalin killed 40,000 of his own officers because he didn't trust them. And that Moscow mentality runs rampant among communists. We oppose communist slavery, and we have rights. We're protected under the constitutional law, that famous constitutional law, the posse come and get us law. You know, just talking about this makes communists nervous. Let's jump back. We'll find a tune. Oh, do you wanna dance? Let's see what we got. We got to find something nice. Ooh. Here we go. A little sweet one.
Never felt like this until I kissed ya. How did I exist until I kissed ya? I kissed ya, oh yeah. Things have really changed since I kissed ya. My life's not the same now that I kissed ya. Oh yeah. You got a will about ya. Now I can't live without ya. Never knew what I missed till I kissed ya. I kissed ya, oh yeah. You don't realize what you do to me, and I didn't realize what a kiss could be. You got a will about ya. Now I can't live without ya. Never knew what I missed till I kissed ya. I kissed ya, oh yeah. You don't realize what you do to me, and I didn't realize what a kiss could be. You got a will about ya. Now I can't live without ya. Never knew what I missed till I kissed ya. I kissed ya, oh yeah, I kissed ya, I kissed ya, oh yeah, I kissed ya.
I'm I'm looking at a blog opener here. It says, is your family making enough sacrifices? Obama doesn't think so. The president that won the lotto, and he's on all kinds of trips. Yeah, he wants the average American to give up their cell phone, give up their TV, and buy an insurance policy from the government, who can split it to five ways. Yeah, we're in trouble, man. We're in big trouble. Speaking of medical insurance, we were at the doctor's office today, and senior nurses are talking about the legalized pot and what a nightmare it's going to be. And then I come home and I turn on the TV, and there is a Senate hearing, and Kelly Ayotta from New Hampshire is saying that heroin use is up in New Hampshire by 70%. And she's talking to two Army generals, and the generals are telling her, yes, this is a big problem, and it's going to be a lot worse. And here we got the state of Colorado, which legalized weed so that they could make blood money. This is blood money, okay? Many people are going to die while the state of Colorado gets high on money. 25% of all pot sales go to the state. Now, you think these other states, when they saw your real estate taxes going up in your state, didn't raise their real estate taxes to match yours? They sure did. When New York saw what New Jersey was getting, and New York went to town. And New Jersey, you're crazy. You people are absolutely nuts out there. You love to pay taxes. People are paying $12,000, $18,000 a year for a normal house in real estate taxes. That's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Your parents paid, they had a $200 mortgage on that house. A $200 a month mortgage. The taxes were probably $17 a month. I don't know, man. You get what you ask for. You must be asking for it. And the good news is, in the District of Columbia, the population is 1,200,000. And guess how many people have glaucoma? 1,200,000. They're going for the medical marijuana. It is really sad, really sad. You have no idea what's happening. Wait till you see big business roll over this weed problem. They're going to roll over it. There's going to be stock selling. Oh, man, I got the get high stock. Yeah, it's up to $500 a share. I got in at the price of a dime bag. Wait till you see what happens. You know, America is doing itself in. It can't wait to throw itself on the funeral pyre. Okay, here's a thank you for supporting Sarah Palin. I like Sarah Palin. Gutsy gal. She's got class, and the communists hate her. They hate her as much as they hate the Pope. Yeah. And don't think they don't hate the Pope. They shot one already. And what else? And they also falsely report whatever he says. What's her name? Arianna Huffington, who built the Huffington Post. She built it on the hard work of sucker students who worked for nothing. And then when it was time to divvy up the profits and give them a little cushion, a little bonus, she said sayonara, and she pocketed $370 million. So students, be careful who uses you for financial gain or communist agendas. Don't sell yourself short. Besides, you got bills to pay. And one day you're going to have to come out of the basement, pot or no pot. Oh, man, we're in trouble. Let's see what else is going on. Obama threatens to veto a bill requiring him to follow the law. This guy should be playing Marlon Brando in The Wild Bunch. Oh, man. He is an MC, you know. He likes to host parties, and he likes to play the MC. He's the and he dresses up. He's got those pants like MC Hammer has, and he sings Can't Touch This. Yeah, MC Hammer and Sickle, they call him. Yeah, IRS investigation, Can't Touch This. Benghazi, Can't Touch This. Yeah, we're in trouble. In trouble.
Call all angels, call all angels. She's the only one. Guide her with your lovely light back into my arms tonight. There's trouble in paradise, and heaven's not the same. The angels sit and cry. They say it's such a shame. They'd like our love to be just like before. Then the trouble in paradise will be no more. Mr. Moon, Mr. Sun, tell her she's the only one. Guide her with your lovely light back into my arms tonight. There's trouble in paradise, and heaven's not the same. The angels sit and cry. They say it's such a shame. They'd like our love to be just like before. Then the trouble
night, I played the Mormon Tabernacle Choir singing Onward Christian Soldiers. I dedicated it to the Crossburners, the ACLU, and the Weinstein Boys, and the Southern Poverty Law Center, and all the people who played the Mormon card to turn Christians against Mormon to help elect a communist. And having said that, the last time I saw that song, that hymn sung, was by an entire contingent on a naval battleship, and singing along with the entire crew were Winston Churchill and Franklin Roosevelt, and they sang Onward Christian Soldiers. So when the communists tell you that there's a separation of church and state according to their rule, not according to the founding fathers' rule, tell them to teach their grandmother to suck eggs. And having said that, what was I going to tell you? Yes, there is a picture. You can get it. You can Google it. And it's called John Trumbull's Painting of the Signers of the Declaration of Independence. And when you open that picture up, you will see the Founding Fathers, and they're reviewing the works of Thomas Jefferson in preparing the Declaration of Independence. And, or the, was it? That's the Declaration of Independence. And you'll see three flags hanging in the background, and there's one flag that has a cross on it. Ooh, how did they do that? Did they violate the separation? So anyway, I put a little caption underneath it. And, they're handing back the declaration that they approved to Thomas Jefferson. He's sitting at a desk. And the caption says, "Hey, Tom, you made a quillo. It's supposed to be a separation of church and snake." So I was watching the Huffington Post, and they went after the Pope today. And you know how they did it? They're real nickel and dime stuff. Pope curses. This is their big headline. They ran it for 2 days. The Pope curses. And then I read the article, and they're saying he said the F word. And then I read a little bit further, and it says, well, it's really not the F word. In Italian, the Pope speaks Spanish. That's his native tongue. So in Italian, he was talking to the people in Rome, and he used a word that started with like a C-A-Z something or other, and it means, you know, to bring us together or thoughtfulness or something. But there's another word that's very close in pronunciation, which is the F word. And so he accidentally said the F word, and he realized he said the wrong word, and he caught himself. So this was the big headline in the Huffington Post. But I read some blogs. They showed the Pope, he was in church with a lot of priests, and he wasn't sitting at the head of anything. He was in the middle of the pews. He was just there as one individual. Everybody was dressed in black, you know, the black suits the priests wear, and he was there in a white suit because the good guys wear white suits. Yeah. But anyway, so I read some of the blogs and, you know, in appreciation of the Pope, and of course then came the pedophile priest hits. And then came non-Catholics who paid him a lot of compliments. I was very surprised. One woman was 72 years old and Jewish, and she thought he was the greatest thing. She said she could never convert to Catholicism, but this man is a great man. The enemies of Christ are many. The enemies of good are many. This Pope is a good man, and even non-Catholics love him. The pedophile priest scandal was the biggest sin of the church. The cover-up led to additional children being destroyed by those they trusted. Dante says the lowest rung of hell is reserved for those who betray a trust. Watch out, lawyers. Jesus says it deserves a neck millstone and into the sea time. And that's what he thinks about those who betray a trust or harm a child inside or outside the womb. There is also an enemy of the church who intends to destroy the goodness and replace it with atheism. That's the biggest competitor of Christianity. Their best tool is the pedophile priest scandal, but their biggest enemy is the truth. Let us cleanse the leper image and protect the weak, especially the unborn, and come home to the church that Christ founded. In the movie Son of God, after the crucifixion, Pontius Pilate's wife said, "I told you not to be involved with that man's death." And Pilate says to her, "In 1 week, no one will remember his name." Yet to this very day, 2,000 years later, everybody remembers two people, Jesus Christ and Pontius Pilate. Of all the Romans, besides Antony, Mark Antony and Julius Caesar and Nero and Caligula, Pontius Pilate gets more a mention every Sunday. So, in the words of the Latino people and the Mexican people, Viva Cristo Rey. And in Latin, that's Christus Vincit and Christus Regnat. And the people that were on the blog site, they missed the Latin Mass. They liked it. And they weren't too happy with Vatican II and the changes. when people, I get a kick out of it, when Pope Benedict, they came online, all of the communists said, he better do this about same-sex marriage, and he better do this about that, and he better do this about that. And and all I could respond was, hey, give us time, fellas. It took us 2,000 years to turn the altar around. Yeah. It's this, and I said that in Pope Benedict's encyclical to the Las Vegians, it's the same game. Yeah, with the same dice. So, what can I say? The Catholic Church is not about cardinals and limousines blessing restaurants. It is about the peons building Christ's home one brick at a time with their hands. And that is why communists work every day to destroy the church by any means, including infiltration. If they can infiltrate the State Department and change American policy, if they can infiltrate Los Alamos and obtain nuclear secrets, if they can have a guy like Snowden steal 800,000 memos, and a guy like Private Manning steal 200,000 memos, surely they can infiltrate the Catholic Church. But the Catholic Church is not about cardinals and limousines. It is about the people. And that is why communists work every day to destroy the church. You know what they're doing? They're competing for the poor. If the church was not there, they could control their slaves. God keep us safe, humble priests, and protect us all. Spirit of America Party, a radio show. In YouTube, you can get American Crossroads, Abu Tam. And in YouTube, if you're pro-life, you can get Save the Kids, Abu Tam. And if you're pro-choice, you should see what you're doing. Save the Kids, Abu Tam. So having said that, we'll sneak back for a tune. Somebody's got to say it, folks. Oh, the good news is I turned on the TV. And on my network, 118 is Fox News. 117 is Fox Business. And then there's nothing until you go to 114, and that's Al Jazeera. And I like Al Jazeera for the Middle East information because they can embed themselves with the Taliban. So we get a look at both sides of the coin. But I all of a sudden, in doing the one channel drop, I come across a new channel, and it's called One America Network. One America Network. And I'm watching it, and I'm saying, oh, this must be, and it's got a, what looks to me, it's supposed to be an eagle, but it looks to me like a falcon, and it actually looks like the emblem on Emirates Airways with the falcon that they put on the tail. The falcon is in almost a direct replica of the Emirates Airways of Falcon. And so I'm figuring this has got to be a United Arab Emirates a network. And so I'm watching and I'm listening, and all of a sudden this guy comes on. I think his name is Gary Ledger. And he starts talking about One America. And then he tells you in his intro that he is he leans to the right. And he says, and even when I'm wrong, I'm right. And then I knew that we had it. And the American flag is all over the place. And I said to myself, oh, this is great. This is absolutely great. And I says, I hope that they take the place of New York One, because you'll never see an American flag on New York One. New York One is anything but American. It is race cards, and more race cards. New York One is the great divider. You will never see an American flag on New York One. And the last time I checked, it was owned by CNN. And then I happened to see either their office or the CNN office, and on the desk was a French flag. But the only way you can see an American flag on New York One is if a city bus is passing by and you see the flag that's the logo on the bus. So having said that, let's see what we got. Anything in chumps? Oh, I don't want to say that one. I'm not reading that one. Oh, this is Walid the Shubat. You know Walid the Shubat? He is he was a jihadi, and he converted to Christianity. And he's got a newsletter there, and he is always trying to help Christians. And here's one of his articles, The CIA's Greatest Secret. You want to read that one? John Brennan is the head of the CIA. I don't trust him. Let's see what he says about John Brennan. During an event at the Council on Foreign Affairs, John Brennan was asked about the war of ideas surrounding Islam, which the questioner said many Americans tend to equate with violence. Brennan responded that al-Qaeda's ideology was built on a perverse and very corrupt interpretation of the Quran, adding that the al-Qaeda ideology is fed a lot of times by, political repression, by economic, disenfranchisement, by, lack of education and ignorance. So there are a number of phenomena right now that I think are fueling the fires of, this ideology. Of course, this information Brennan shared was unclassified. Brennan is careful never to reveal the truth. It is as if what Islam is became a classified CIA top secret after the 9/11 attacks. When this plane went missing, the first thing they did is they revealed there were two Iranians on there with false passports, and they immediately cleared them of any terrorism. Did you notice that? Yeah. Let me tell you, when Muslims are involved in anything that hurts Americans, you will never learn their names until about a week after. So this one, they brought the names out right front, and these men are innocent. And so is Major Hassan. That's workplace violence down there. No matter how many times he shouted Allahu Akbar as he pulled the trigger on pregnant women. Yeah. Yeah. He was workplace violence. He was shooting for a raise. Should WikiLeaks finally uncover such hidden manuscript that reveals what Islam is all about, then the CIA would chase someone to the ends of the earth for blowing the whistle. So there are two Islams, one that has been hijacked and the other is suicidal and terroristic. Professor Franz Rosenthal, the great American scholar of Islam, who 50 years ago translated Ibn Khaldun's classic Introduction to History, wrote a seminal essay entitled On Suicide in Islam in 1946. In it, he observed, and this is all quotations, while the Quranic attitude towards suicide remains uncertain, the great authorities of the Hadith leave no doubt as to the official attitude of Islam. In their opinion, suicide is an unlawful act. On the other hand, death as the result of suicidal missions and of desire of martyrdom occurs not infrequently, since death is considered highly commendable according to Muslim religious concepts. However, such cases are not suicides in the proper sense of the term. So they don't consider that a suicide. In summary, in order to become a martyr, one must die. I just saw another article where they're never going to show you pictures of Osama bin Laden. And I believe the reason that they don't want to show you pictures of Osama bin Laden with bullets is because he is considered a saint to the Muslims, and they don't want to offend the Muslims. Better 3,000 people should die that we don't offend the Muslims. When Osama bin Laden took down the Clinton Towers, built in 1993, in the first terrorist attack. So, to become a martyr, one must die, and becoming a shaheed, one would have an insurance that his or her salvation in Islam, the idea of Christ dying for all humanity is rejected and is one of the reasons why Islam was founded. This, then, is a major difference between Muslim salvation and Christian salvation. It's not the death and resurrection of Christ which provides entrance into heaven, but your own death through martyrdom. You know, you got to remember that Islam came on board around, the 700s? Up until that time, Turkey was Christian, Syria was Christian, the whole Middle East was Christian. Now, how are you going to convince guys to give up your religion? Well, you got to go find out. A martyr is a sacrificial lamb, a sacrifice to obtain salvation, which is evident from the cultural term given to a terrorist, fida'i, which literally means the sacrifice. The Islamic argument against blood atonement is somewhat contradicted when it comes to the concept of martyrdom in Islam. But blood atonement is hardly absent in Islam. In fact, blood atonement makes it possible to intercede on the behalf of others, since the shaheed takes on Christ-like abilities, interceding for 70 members of his or her family who would otherwise would have entered hell's fire. So in order to alleviate the suffering in hell, at least one family member is encouraged to be given as a sacrifice. How does Brennan explain a jihadist martyrdom? He only provided the unclassified information that jihadis provide, a perverse and very corrupt interpretation of the Quran. Perhaps the following questions would get answers that this is classified information. Was Muhammad perverse and gave a very corrupt interpretation of the Quran when he used the Hudaybiyah Treaty, took Arabia to later, under Omar bin al-Khattab, began to advance into Christian Byzantine history? Is that what he said? Territory, I'm sorry. Where Muslims perverse and give a very corrupt interpretation of the Quran, when they invaded Jerusalem under Umar bin al-Khattab, dare Brennan say that Saudi Arabia and Qatar are perverse and gave a very corrupt interpretation of the Quran when they sent incursions into Syria of replicas of the same ancient savages, beheading Christians, raping, burning, and destroying everything in sight? And that's how they convert everybody. And now the American Christian is unaware that he should take the side of such savages, in full support of the so-called Free Assyrian Army. Muslims from different nations who converged into Syria to carry out that Saudi harlot's interest. Woo. Where are we going to go here, boys? We're going to get dragged into this? This is a big family fight here. Where Muslims perverse and give a very corrupt interpretation of the Quran, when Arabia made its conquest of Christian Syria in 637, all the evils of Islam stemmed from Saudi Arabia. This is significant. It is the key to unlock everything. The persecutions that demand Jews and Christians bow to an asteroid image they call a black stone. Everything of this, the black stone is in the Kaaba in Mecca. Everything of this evil stemmed from Arabia. When Muslims perverse and gave a very corrupt interpretation of the Quran during the conquest of Christian Armenia in 639, Then the conquest of Christian Egypt. Egypt was all Christian. 639. Then the conquest of Christian North Africa in 652. Then the conquest of Christian Cyprus in 654. And then under the Umayyads, more conquest into Christian North Africa, 665. Then the first Arab siege of Christian Constantinople, which is now Istanbul, 674, 678, so it took them 4 years. Then the second Arab siege of Christian Constantinople, 717 to 718, where Muslims perverse and give a very corrupt interpretation of the Quran when they proceeded into Europe itself, the conquest of Christian Hispania, Spain, 711 to 718, then the conquest of Georgia, 736 in Eastern Europe. It's Georgia, now the Russians are taking it. Then Christian Crete, 820. Then the conquest of Christian southern Italy, 827 to 831 to 902, where Muslims perverse and give a very corrupt interpretation of the Quran during the consequences into Christian Nubia from 700 to 1606. When was the last time anyone seen a Western terror analyst, politicians, or CIA representative discuss how Islam is jolting itself into becoming a regional superpower? None of this fits in their analytical paradigm, which simply constitutes a daily butt-kissing Muslim theologians. Heck, it's not just that the Muslim theologians are getting butt-kissed by the CIA, FBI, and politicians from right to left, but the top-ranking American Christian theologians are standing in line. What American theologian is even raising a stinker when Turkey is talking about converting the Cathedral of Hagia Sophia, the largest church in Christendom, into a prayer mosque, and no one is making a peep? Last time it was converted into an imperial mosque was when perverse Muslims in April 15, 1452, the fateful day when Mohammed II ordered preparations to be made for the siege of Constantinople, captured it, occupying the Cathedral of Hagia Sophia, which was converted into an imperial mosque in which the soldiers were killing each other, fighting who gets to rape the prettiest Christian concubine, where Muslims finally humbled when Christians finally rose up and bruised the Ottoman Empire on the head and killed it in 1918, and the Islamic Empire received a head wound in the aftermath of World War I. And now the very Christian West that killed it, the very powers that struck it down, are simply taken out of the way and causing the same Islam to rise again, this time by allowing the good cop, the Muslim theologian with a three-piece suit, to cover up for the terrorist bad cop, while both cops are cut of the same cloth. Cut of the same cloth, that's an Arab saying. Usually it refers to marriages. Always marry someone cut of the same cloth. One is more perverse than the other. The CIA greatest secret is simple. Islam is not so peaceful. And while everybody knows that, such a secret has leaked out long ago, telling it becomes taboo. So how do you like that? You want to hear some of the comments? This is from a gal named Cynthia. And Walid, thanks again for keeping the history forefront. Nobody wants to take the time to look at history, but it is our most valuable tool. Amen to that, he replies. A nation that forgets history is bound to repeat it. Americans will never bow to Islam, whether Brennan already has or not, which we know he has. We are not that far gone yet. Even if more bombs are coming to us from them or not, when we are attacked, Americans just get more consolidated and stronger. That's from a guy named Rob. Bravo, Walid, peaceful Muslims indeed, I'm sort of pregnant. As long as it's politically correct to go into denial and ignore the stated goals of fundamental Islamists, Muslims will grow ever closer to achieving their goal. For example, from an article published by Reuters, April 18, 2004, an Islamic cleric gives his view about the wave of terror attacks planned at that time when he stated the following. It's inevitable because several attacks are being prepared by several groups. Sheikh Omar Bakr Mohammed told Lisbon's Publica magazine from London, where he is based. He added, "We don't make a distinction between civilians and non-civilians." Osama bin Laden showed us that. Innocence and non-innocence. The sad part about the bombing of the World Trade Center was 200 unborn children died with their pro-life mothers. And those children were not recognized as casualties. Their names aren't even on a memorial. That's because we have a government that kills its own and makes it legal. Well, Hitler did the same thing. It was legal. Only between Muslims and unbelievers, and the life of an unbeliever has no value. It has no sanctity. People don't understand that. One thing I noticed when I was in Kuwait, Muslims have a different reaction to death. They don't, for some reason, they don't deal with it the same way we do. I don't know the reason for it, but I did notice a strange difference. Maybe it's a more fatalistic approach. Additionally, present-day Islamic clerics praise the act of martyrdom, as noted by these words taken from an Islamic website in the year 2003. Martyrdom or self-sacrifice operations are those performed by one or more people against enemies far outstripping them in numbers and equipment, with prior knowledge that the operations will almost inevitably lead to death. Oh, here's a guy who's got a picture of an eagle. He's called Schwarmanator. As a student of the Jesuits who studied in the Middle East, Walid, you made my day while reading your words of truth and knowledge and sharing them with your readers. I thank you, sir. Yeah, we always got to get somebody on the inside that knows how the inside works. John Brennan, I don't trust. He smells like a rat. He eats a lot of cheese. He's got a stringy tail. I just don't trust him, man. He looks like a sellout. It's just about something about him, you know? Like, I wouldn't want him to watch my kids. Let us go and pay a tribute to rock and roll.
Let me your Cadillac. Go to go, go to go.
Steal Away.
Steal away, let's steal away. No reason left to stay. For me and you, let's start anew. And darling, steal away.
You're going to get the Duke of Dubuque.
I'm the dude, I'm the dude.
That's our show, folks. Have a nice night.